أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق فيه كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار. Translation: indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help and forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of our soul and from our sinful deeds. He whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and he who is allowed to be misguided, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no true God except Allah alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. Yes. Closer. Jazakallah. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah according to His right and die not except as Muslim. O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mates, and from them spread many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights from one another, and do not cut off the family ties. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, He is a watcher over you. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and always speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous deeds and forgive your sins, and whosoever obeys Allah and His messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. As to what precedes, verily the best of speech is the book of Allah, the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of evils are innovations, and every innovation is a dalala, it is a misguidance, a deviation, going astray, and every dalala is in the fire. Inshallah ta'ala, tonight is our third session for our Friday night ta'aleem. And last week we touched upon some basic essentials of the religion of Islam. So this week, inshallah, what I would like to do is I would like to go into a very noble book that has been compiled by Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz. The name of the book is Al-Aqidah Sahiha وَمَا يَدَادُهَا, and that is translation, the correct belief and what opposes it. And I won't go into this book in detail, but I will use it basically as a template, because the book has some very unique features for us brothers and sisters here in the United States, being that it is a book that is very, very basic and very, very fundamental, but at the same time it is a book that really lays down the principles of Aqidah, the principles of Tawheed, and the principles of Iman in general. And we can see that Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and grant him a great reward for this this great piece of work. We can see that he possesses the characteristics of the Rabbaniyyun, or the individual who is able to take people from a very basic level, and he can raise them up to more comprehensive knowledge and more comprehensive understanding of the deen. So we can see this very small work that he has compiled, that it does just that. It allows us to look at our aqidah from a very basic level. And one of the other characteristics of this Aqidah to Sahiha is it is considered to be a depository, meaning that the way he treats Aqidah, or the way he goes into Aqidah, he comes straight from the Quran. And this is something that is very much needed today, because what we find is that many books on Aqidah, like Aqidah Tahawiyya or Aqidah Wasatiyya, that basically these books are very beneficial, and they are very, very unique books on explaining the Aqidah for the general Muslims. But at the same time, we have to recognize that these books on Aqidah, they came as a refutation of incorrect beliefs of those deviant sects that were prevalent during that time. And so we see a lot of attention in these books of Aqidah are focused towards the misconceptions and the jadal, or the arguments, the refutations that were brought forth in order to refute some of these false claims. But in fact, what we have in this book and many other books of Aqidah is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they treated Aqidah as far as it comes to teaching the masses exactly what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand. And that is, of course, going straight to the Quran, going straight to the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and explaining Aqidah in this form and in this fashion. So inshallah ta'ala, like I said, we're going to try to like use this this small track as a template, not really going word for word verbatim into the book. And for a side note, anyone who would like to get a hold of this book, you can find it on the internet at alibana.com, and this is a very beneficial website for English speaking Muslims, because they have a number of e-books that are absolutely free for you to take advantage of. So inshallah ta'ala, after saying that, a brief introduction, and we're going to be very short today because we combined our Salat al-Maghrib and Salat al-Isha due to the rain here. And again, we will be making Salat al-Isha for those who are coming into the masjid at 8:30. So this is somewhat of a very small session, or a short session. One of the first things, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to mention as a brief side point is knowing ourselves and knowing our place. And this is very unique, because the Muslim, we should know ourselves. We should know who we are. You know, we're not scholars. We're not individuals who are learned to a very thorough level. But we are common Muslims, da'is, we can consider ourselves, and we are individuals who are concerned about just keeping the message of Islam alive as best we possibly can in our environment. And this is a very important thing, because we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, "Ad-deenu nasiha, kunna liman, qal lillah, wa li kitabi, wa li rasuli, wa li a'immatil muslimina wa ammatihim." That the religion is sincere advice or sincerity. Kunna liman, to who? To Allah, to His Messenger, to the books, to the leaders and the common folk. That this tradition basically lays out a very important principle for us. And a scholar of the grammar, his name is Raghib al-Isfahani, he has basically said that this term, nasiha, he said that it basically means sincerity or sincere advice, but it also means to clean oneself from unwanted elements. A second meaning would be to unite or to join together what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And we can see that this is a very unique type of linguistic definition, because the first one basically talks about separating, or actually purifying oneself of unwanted elements, and the other meaning actually means to unite, to actually bring together. So we can see a very unique type of position in the term nasiha. And he goes on to say that this uniting is for one to unite himself or herself with the universe, to have your consciousness be united with the universe. And this is a very unique expression, because we see that the universe, the kawniya, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it follows the commandments of Allah. It follows the pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it upon. So we can see everything within the universe is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the consciousness of man because of his will, because of Allah giving him that position to make choice, that he can either obey or he can disobey. So the nasiha is designed to bring the consciousness in accordance with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when an individual becomes, or when he brings himself into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, he brings himself in unison. He brings himself into a unified mold with everything that is within the creation. And we know that we have many traditions. We have many traditions that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person because of his obedience, because of him striving to please Allah, that he calls out to the heavens that I love so and so, so you should also love him. Okay, and then everything within the creation is loving him also, until this thing goes down to the earth itself. So we can see that this is a very unique position of an individual being called or being reminded or having this type of advice to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to give this sincerity from one's heart. The next point I would like to make in our brief introduction is that there is a time and there's a place for everything. And we're talking about ourselves and how we have to try to develop some kind of consciousness amongst ourselves. We should understand that these lectures, these Friday night lectures, and all of the other lectures that individuals who consider themselves to be da'is try to conduct, that their purpose is to invoke, to encourage, to invoke the Muslims to stay steadfast, to invoke the Muslims to fortify themselves with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, to take that nasiha, that advice, and to try to implement it into one's life. And, of course, when we look here in the United States, we know that here in the United States is not like other places. For example, here in the United States is not like Egypt. Okay, in Egypt we have individuals who are qualified, we have individuals who have formal knowledge, who have been through, you know, a great deal of scholastic discipline. So of course when they address the people, they can give people, you know, more finer principles, and they are qualified. So then that person who knows himself, it's time for him to be a student or a listener and to receive from the one who is giving the knowledge. And we know this is the same thing in other Muslim countries and other places where people are more qualified. But here in the United States, what we find is that the da'i, he has to take a role on trying to call and trying to invite the people until we get to that next level. And of course, like I said, knowing yourself, knowing your place. And Muhammad Asali Uthaymeen, he has said something very beneficial in his advice to the Muslim here. And anywhere, he says that it is not necessary that an individual knows everything about his religion before he calls and teaches the people. This is not a requirement, but it is a requirement that he knows or he understands what he is calling the people to. So even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed this, "Ballighu anni walau ayah," that even if it is one verse that you can inform the people, you call the people, you try to bring the people to a better understanding. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, a very beneficial position for each and every one of us to know ourselves. And the last point in our introduction is the great Imam Ash-Shafi. He has said, "Waq as-saif." He said that time is like a sword. Right? He said, if you don't cut it off, it will cut you off. Right? So this actually informs us that, you know, there is a time and a place for everything. And of course, when we look at our environment here, we have to understand that things now are not like they were before. So an individual has to cut off the realities of what was in the past, and he has to focus his attention on the rulings and the conditions of today. And of course, if he doesn't cut off, or he doesn't know how to make a distinction between what is in the past and what is in the future, what will happen to the time will cut him. Meaning that he will be applying certain principles, or he will have certain ideas that won't be compatible with his time and his place, and he will be absolutely ineffective. So unfortunately today we have brothers and we have sisters who actually have this idea that no, don't speak, you can't say, you can't give da'wah. Wait for the sheikh, wait for the individual who was qualified, let him come, let him teach. SubhanAllah, we've been here in the United States, Islam has been here for roughly 30, 35 years. And unfortunately we can say that Islam still isn't grounded here yet. There's no one can say that Islam has taken root here in the United States yet, despite the fact that Islam has been here for over 25, 30 years. So the da'i has to keep calling, building, striving to structure his environment until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something more. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allow us to taste or to experience some of the success from our efforts, and inshallah ta'ala in the future we will see greater consequence come from this pioneering effort, and inshallah ta'ala this will be a victory for each and every one of us. The great Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz, he starts off with a very important point. He says, correct belief is the foundation and the basis of the religion of Islam. He says that correct belief is the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting a person's statements and a person's actions. And he gives the evidence in the Quran. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Translation: and whoever rejects faith, iman, then he has nullified his good deeds, and in the hereafter he will be from amongst the losers, the khasirin. He goes and gives another evidence. وَلَقَدْ أُوْهِيَا إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Translation: and it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, and to those before you, that if you mix partners and worship with Allah, your good deeds will surely be cancelled, and you will be, or and you will indeed be from amongst the losers. And this is in Surah Al-Zumar 65. A couple of points about this particular verse. The first is walaqad, and I didn't add this emphasis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he puts here. In the translator it should be, and indeed it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, and to those before you, that if you mix partners and worship with Allah, your good deeds will surely be cancelled, and you will be indeed from the losers. And this is وَلَتَكُونَنَّ, and this is indeed you will be some of the losers. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us another emphasis that an individual, he cannot mix or associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this particular verse, it has been reported in authentic traditions that Ibn Abbas has reported to have said that this verse was revealed in relation to the mushrik who came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to make an agreement with the Prophet. And what they basically said is, they said, you know, if you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will worship Allah. Salaam alaykum. Yes, this is alibana.com. Alibana, A-L-A-B-A-A-N-I.
One more time.
A-L-A-B-A-A-N-I. And this is a website that has a great deal of e-books on them for individuals to download free. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs us that the deeds are accepted with correct belief. And once again, the mushrik, they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him that of course we will worship Allah, we will accept the mission, we will accept your call to Tawheed if you also integrate or you accommodate our gods also. And we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly says that deeds will not be accepted, that there's no compromising, there can't be any kind of mixing gods along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. This is the Tawheed, this is the calling, and this is the mission. And also there's another verse that is similar to this one, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِتَتْ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Translation: but if they had enjoined, or if they had joined in worship others with Allah, all that they used to do would have been in vain, or wouldn't have been of any benefit. And you can find this in verse 6, ayat 88. Now let us talk about the correct belief that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called humanity to. And we know, because of authentic traditions, that this has become very common for us, that the correct belief, or the basic principles of our belief, is of course to believe in Allah, Aman tu billah, and it is to believe in the angels, in the revelation, which is the books, in the messengers, in the last day, and belief in the divine decree, Al-Qadr. And of course this this idea, or these concepts of belief, they are of the greatest of importance for us. And inshallah ta'ala, Shaykh Abdulaziz bin Baz, first he begins to highlight many of the verses in the Quran and many of the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that drive home this point to a position where it leaves absolutely no doubt. Now, for most Muslims, they might say, SubhanAllah, we know this. Okay, let's move on to something more comprehensive. But we have to also understand that this is the foundation of our deen, and if an individual, if he really begins to spend time and begin to ponder over these principles of iman, or these principles of aqidah, he will find that this is a foundation that will make the rest of the religion very easy for him or her to understand. And inshallah ta'ala, as we go through these verses, I would like all of us to just listen to the context, or some of the implications, on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us iman, how he gives us the principles of iman, and how he gives it to us in a context, meaning, you know, how he expresses in the verses what we should believe in according to the situations that the Muslims and the disbelievers, the mushrik, were going through. And it begins to form for us a very unique type of understanding on how important it is for us to understand our belief, or our system of aqidah. The first ayat that Shaykh Abdulaziz bin Baz, he mentions, he says, لَيْسَ بِرْعَ عَنْ تَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ كِبْلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ بِرْعَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Translation: it is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or the west. Rather, righteousness is the righteousness of those who believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 177. Let me mention the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, آمن رسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسوله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Translation: the Messenger Muhammad believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. They say, we make no distinction between one another of his messengers. And they say, we hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is our return. This is in Surah Baqarah 285. Now the first that the Shaykh relates to us in ayat Surah Baqarah, ayat 177, there's so much that we can say about this particular verse. And the scholars has given us some asbab al-nuzul. And asbab al-nuzul is the cause, or the reason why this particular ayat was sent down. And before we get into the reason why it was sent down, we should understand, and there's a another very beneficial book. It has been translated and some compiling by Jamaluddin Zarabozo, and is the commentary of the 40 hadith. And we should know that the vast majority of this commentary, it comes from Ibn Rajab, that has a very famous commentary on the 40 hadith. And Jamaluddin, he borrows from this noble work a great deal. And Ibn Rajab, he points out, he says that this particular verse that the scholars have expressed, that they get the order for our understanding the religion of Islam, meaning Iman in Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he first mentions the principles of Iman, and if you read on in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to mention the principles of Islam. He begins to express our feeding of the poor, our helping our family members. He begins to talk about the performing of salat, the paying of zakat, and being patient during times of sickness, during times of war, jihad, and so forth and so on. So the scholars have actually loaned, or they have borrowed from this verse, and have said that this is a unique chronological order that we should look at religion at itself, as a whole, meaning that we should look at the belief first and we should look at the practice second. This verse also has a very unique position in correcting man's tendencies to be fixed on superficial matters. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ بِرَّ أَن تَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east or to the west. Rather, righteousness is the righteousness of those who believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. And we can see the asbab, or the reason why this verse was sent down, is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking towards the heavens, and he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn the direction, the Qibla, towards the Kaaba and away from Baytul Muqaddas. Okay? Now, to give a little history about this, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, we know that he used to pray towards Baytul Muqaddas, but he would be facing the Kaaba, and then between the Kaaba was the Prophet on one side and Baytul Muqaddas on the other side. Okay? So when the Muslims made Hijrah to Medina, okay, then the facing of the Kaaba wasn't there anymore, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this desire in his heart, and he would look towards the heavens and make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the Qibla. Okay? And of course, we know that there are some Muslims that were amongst the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great companions, that they hear and they obey. Whatever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, they would immediately accept. But amongst them in Medina, we know that the Munafiq were there, right? And there were also Jews there. And there were also individuals who were coming there to debate with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst the Christians. They were coming and they were asking questions and debating and so forth and so on. So we see that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, you know, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him the revelation to change the Qibla, and it is expressed in a very beneficial book that's called Bidayatul wa Nihaya, or Bidayatul Nihaya. And this is a book by Ibn Kathir. And again, this is a very good book for English-speaking brothers. What actually an organization has done is they took the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of this 14 volumes of work by Ibn Kathir, and they translated the seerah into English. And I can tell you, this is probably one of the most comprehensive seerahs that we have of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the English language. And for a side note, this is 4 volumes. You have 4 volumes of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is available for our English-speaking brothers and sisters. And in this particular seerah, it says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was 18 months in Medina. 18 months in Medina. And after 18 months, the revelation came. And there's something that is called naskh. Does anybody know what naskh is? Naskh. This is like an abrogation, right? This is the abrogation. And we know that the vast majority of scholars have said that they accept the idea of nasakh, that there are some verses in the Quran that have abrogated other verses in the Quran, and we can even look at that goes along with this this nasakh. And once again, there's a very beneficial book by a very young scholar. His name is Abu Yasir Qadi, Abu Ammar Yasir Qadi. He has a very beneficial book that is called The Principles of the Sciences of the Quran, and it gives maybe 15 to 16 pages on this very science and very beneficial information for anyone who would like to move on. Okay, so when we see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving this revelation to change the Qibla, we can see that the people in Quba, and this is a very unique type of report, it is said that the people in Quba who were some distance away in the Fajr prayer, that an individual came right into the masjid, and he said that last night the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed that the Qibla has been changed from Baytul Muqaddas to to the Kaaba. And it is said that right in the prayer, سَمَعْنَا وَأَتَعْنَا, hearing and obeying, not even thinking. If it's a commandment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did it. Right in the prayer, they turned in the direction that the Kaaba was facing, absolutely no question. But it is said that those who were the Jews, the Christians, some of the Munafiq, these individuals started questioning, they started ridiculing, they started saying, what is this? You know, the religion is being changed, the Prophet, he's not sure about what he's getting, what is the wahi, right? And we can see that this type of idea, لَيْسَ بِرْوَ أَن تَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ كِبْلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, that the righteousness is not the direction that you face in, but the righteousness is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandments that come down, the legislative laws. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, when His messenger says something, this is righteousness, this is obedience. So, you know, when we look at this this point of albir, and we know that albir is a type of action, and this is something that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the scholars, they have told us that there are two basic principles for accepted deeds from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is that your deeds have to be in accordance with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever you do, it has to be something that Allah has commanded, something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated, either in his saying, his qawl, right, either in his fi'l, what he has actually did, or in his taqrar, what he has silently approved of. Okay? Or the next point is ikhlas, that you have to sincerely be striving to do your actions for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two pillars that deeds or righteous deeds, accepted actions are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at this, we see that these companions, that they accepted without any question at all, and the Munafiq, the Jews, the Christians, that these other individuals, that they stuck or they cling to the superficial idea. Now once again, look at man's tendencies. We are always looking at the superficial thing. We are always looking at the smaller picture and not looking at the major picture. And this ayat basically tells us, as far as it comes to aqidah, or as far as it comes to our iman, that we must rely, we are in need of the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to understand how we should live in this life. Because it is aqidah, or it is iman, that motivates us. This is what takes us through this life and helps us to strive to get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. For example, when we look at our deeds, if an individual knows that Jannah or paradise is on the other side, he will work harder to secure the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of what is going on around him, right? The superficial things, you know, the hurdles that come in our way, you know, the, what do they call it, these hindrances or these obstacles that attract our attention. But the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have also taught us and they have demonstrated for us how we should stay focused on the commandments of Allah, because ultimately that is where our success lies. And we mentioned this last week, you know, we have the unique example of, you know, Yusuf alayhi salam. I mean, you know, 12 years in prison, subhanAllah, you know. Most of us, 12 years in prison, you know, we feel it's finished, you know. there's no room, there's no more time for me to, you know, to rebound and to, you know, collect myself. But at the same time, we see this Yusuf alayhi salam, he stayed in prison, but he focused his attention on the bigger picture. And we also have this unique quality in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we know there are many things that happen to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we would consider to be major setbacks. For one, he was an orphan, right? We know that his father, Abdullah, passed away before he was even born, right? Okay, now in the Arabian Peninsula, this is a major setback, or an individual will consider it to be a major setback. Okay, at a very tender age of 6, his mother, Amina, passed away, right? After some time, he was under the custody of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, right? And he passed away. He went into the custody of Abu Talib, his uncle, right? And we know that his uncle, you know, took care of him and loved him and, you know, brought him on the caravan, you know, showed him how to trade and to do business and so forth and so on. And they have something that is called the Year of Zaro. And the Year of Zaro, we see that Abu Talib passed away. His wife Khadija passed away. He went to Taif to do dawah, right? And we know that they disrespected him and they stoned him and so forth and so on. Okay, call you down. Inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, so inshallah, Brother Abdul Majid is here to call the adhan. And inshallah, what we'll do is we'll try to pick up where we left off next Friday. And keeping in mind that this is a very beneficial book. Once again, it is called Aqidatu Sahiha wa ma yadaduha. Okay, and this is the correct belief and what opposes it. And inshallah, we will try to finish up with the first portion. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to finish the whole book, which is a very small book. I think it is maybe no more than 14 pages. And I would highly recommend, you know, for us English-speaking brothers and sisters to try to memorize this whole book. Because there are scholars, there's a great scholar, his name is Bakr Abu Zaid, and he has a book that is called The Etiquettes of the Students of Knowledge. And what he points out in this particular book, and again, this is a book translated into English, he points out in this book, he says that anyone who is serious about his deen, that he should take a small book, you know, a small book from one of the major scholars, and he should work on that book till he puts it into memory. Okay, this is a very beneficial thing. It kind of like lays a template for a person, so he has a very small work that he can use as a reference point, and then we start to study and we start to, you know, gather more information. But last point is, this is some advice that helps us to understand how to stay stable in our thoughts and in our understanding and in our discipline. You know, instead of going, grabbing from the left, grabbing from the right, you know, getting this and getting that. No, take a small book that has been well received by the scholars of our religion, put it to memory, and then try to build upon that. So with that, I close, inshallah, subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallah for listening.